Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this? Happy Eastern Everybody edition, April 20th. Gridiron Blitz on the air. You can find us on our podcast at ultimatesportstalk.com, as well as here on Blog Talk Radio and on Twitter and every social site you can think of. Welcome to Gridiron Blitz, along with Erica Lynn Anderson. Huge, big games in the women's game this weekend. A lot of top teams in the WFA starting to branch out. A lot of 3-0 teams. Most notably, obviously, Chicago Force. They beat the tough D.C. Divas. Divas have been 0-2, but they have put a fight in every contest. 41-27 last night against the juggernaut that is Sammy Grisafi, Jeanette Gray, and Darcy Leslie. Everybody in Chicago happy. They're hosting the national championship in Chicago, so I'm assuming that's fueling their drive. They take on the Mayhem next week, and we'll see if the Mayhem can upset Chicago. It doesn't seem likely at this point. They are a strong threat. They're putting up over 55 and only allowing 12 points, so that's not a good sign for anybody in the WFA. And we ended up tweeting a little tweet out there saying, if nobody knows that this is the team to beat, now you know in Chicago. So congratulations to Chicago Force. The other notable teams in the WFA supplanting their positions for a national championship, obviously in California, the San Diego Surge, they're 3-0. No surprise, Cal War Angels, 3-0. The Titans, which had a one-week bye, basically, now 2 weeks into it, are also 3-0, and they're very impressive. You can't forget, in the Northwest, the Seattle Seahawks-like Majestics, also 3-0, and they've shut out their opponents 2 weeks in a row. So congratulations to Scott McCarron out there and the Seattle Majestics for a great start to their season. It's a long season still. We're only into week three of the WFA. The other factors in the IWFL, which we haven't covered exclusively yet, but we will give a shout-out to the Pittsburgh Passion for winning the Pennsylvania battle, 42-0 against the Philadelphia Firebirds. And the surprising team, on a bad note at this point, is Jennifer King's Carolina Phoenix, 0-2, the defending champs of 2013, have faced Pittsburgh. And yesterday they faced another tough competition, and they ended up losing. So 2-0 was third. Now it's 0-2 for Carolina. Carolina really needs to rebound this coming week, and we will keep you abreast of that. That's one of the teams we're following this year. So hopefully the Phoenix with Jennifer King can rebound and get a win in the next week, week three in the IWFL. It'll be week four in the WFA. Any updates on the scores, you can always go to @JanetTVFootball for the latest updates on the IWFL and the WFA. Or you can go directly to the site for the leagues at WFA Football or at IWFL. Erica, welcome to Easter Sunday.
Yes, hello. Happy Easter, everybody.
So, like I said, a lot of teams starting to, 3 weeks into the women's game, you're starting to see a lot of teams, and especially our good friend Scott McCarron's Majestics undefeated so far.
Yes. I was happy to hear that. Congratulations to Scott and the whole team. I was tweeting them last week, and sounds like they've got some new players and that they, he's got some, former veterans in some new positions, and sounds like they're really trying to set up the team for a future, keep building. So.
Yeah, and given the fact that he was 1-out last year versus Utah, I think that's burning in his heart. He just wants to get to the playoffs and show everybody that obviously that wasn't a one and out mentality. So we'll get with him down the road here, probably in the next 2 weeks. I really want to give him his level of comfort. Maybe when he's like 7-0 and he'll call us in and start bragging. You know what I mean? But right now it's just 3-0. It's no big deal. It's just 3-0. It's not like he's shutting anybody out or anything for 2 weeks. And I'm pretty sure he's listening to us right now. So, well, we'll see if Scott, ends up, in a good state. It looks like they're on a good roll right now. They're doing pretty well. The other team of notable, obviously, in the militia. The militia at backseat coaches team. Militia really playing good ball as well. They're into into 3 weeks in, and they're pretty competitive, and they always are every year in, year out. Kansas City, I talked about earlier as well. So today we are going to have Russell Baxter on the show, and from ProFootballGuru.com. You can find him at BaxFootballGuru on Twitter. Pretty insightful on anything NFL, stats, numbers, you name it. Russell's the guy, and we'll have him come on here in a couple minutes here to tell us a little bit about what he thinks about upcoming NFL season, some of the teams we're going to throw out him, maybe the AFC East, find out who he feels is going to come out of there and what they need. NFC West is in Houston. I believe that's the AFC South, if I'm correct. So, Erica, we'll get ready for him. Is he on by any chance?
He is. Yeah, I'll put him through.
Okay,
on.
Great. So let's put Russell on the No Joke Football Huddle. No Joke Football Huddle brought to you by Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties, where you can get everything women's apparel in the women's game. Russell, welcome to Easter Sunday on the Blitz.
Thank you very much. Happy holiday to both of you. How are we both doing today?
We're doing great today. And we were looking forward to talking to you.
Had dinner yet?
What was that?
No.
Have you both had Easter dinner yet?
No, we're West Coast out here, so I'm still about an hour or so away from that. So we're like in 4 o'clock out here, so we won't have Easter dinner until about 6:30 Pacific. So I think that's a little later on the East Coast.
Erica, have you had Easter dinner yet?
Not yet.
Okay, so Erica will be dozing off. Erica will be dozing off in the next 10 minutes because you already had Easter dinner.
No, not yet. I will eat in about an hour, actually.
Oh, okay. Okay, so we have a fighting chance here. All right.
We do.
Russell, we wanted to bring you on because a lot of changes in the free agency sort of puts paints a picture on some teams made some good moves, like Denver. And so we wanted to get a perspective, from a person like you as to how do you see that the AFC West, Denver stronger based on obviously roster that we've accumulated. Who do you see coming out of there? I mean, Raiders made some moves. There's a lot of teams that made some moves, but do you feel like the AFC West, who's going to come out of that?
Well, I think it's too early to make any kind of predictions in terms of who's going to win the division. We're still 2.5 weeks away from the draft. But, pretty much all the teams were busy. Not necessarily Kansas City. If you remember how the free agency started for the Chiefs, they lost 5 players the very first day of free agency. Now you consider the fact that, they went 2-6 in their last 8 games, which includes blowing that 28-point playoff advantage in the loss to Indianapolis. So it's been ever since being 9-0, it's been a rocky year or so for the Kansas City Chiefs. But you look at the Denver Broncos who signed LeBron James and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade really early in the free agency. Obviously, we're referring to DeMarcus Ware, Aqib Talib, and T.J. Ward. Ward I like better than any of them because I think he can help them against the run. Don't lay back on San Diego. San Diego, a lot of people looked at who they signed, and it was more for depth. And let me tell you something. Signing for depth is usually a very good sign for a team. They gave Denver all kinds of problems last year. They're playing a little more smash-mouth football, and believe me, that still works in this league. And the Oakland Raiders, after a kind of a shaky start with free agency, have rebuilt their defensive line. And the thing I like about what they did on defense, and I'm not a person who likes a ton of free agency signings. I think you have to blend in the draft with a few free agency signings. But Justin Tuck, Lamar Woodley, and Antonio Smith all have something very, very significant in common. They all have been they've all played in Super Bowls. And that's the kind of leadership that you might want to get on a team that, let's not forget, the Oakland Raiders have not had a winning season since 2002.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and unfortunately, it's like everybody's put this stigma on them where these are where the over-the-hill free agents go to die. And hopefully they can turn around with the new GM here, because they really have some potential now with acquiring, you know, a new quarterback in place. They need some weapons. And to your point, yeah, they got to step it up.
Well, listen, they haven't – listen, I can understand people not wanting to give them the benefit of doubt. It's certainly understandable. More than a decade now has gone by. I want to say their record the last 11 years – get this. I think in the last 11 years, they are 53 and 123. Not exactly something that inspires confidence.
No, exactly. No. Erica, you got anything for Russell? Throw at him.
You know, I liked his take on, you know, the Broncos, their signings with those three, because I, you know, obviously Tlaib came from my Patriots, and I wasn't really that upset, and I just thought the amount of money they were paying him was way too much for what he has churned out the last couple of years in New England. So I really like his take on those particular signings.
Now, Russell,
well,
it's going to be interesting.
I mean, there's almost this back and forth between the Patriots and the Broncos. You know, with their signings, I like what New England has done. I wish they could have gotten Darrelle Revis on something other than really a one-year contract, but the fact is they did get him in there. And Brandon Browner is a solid signing, but, of course, he's not around for the first four games. You know, it was really a shame what happened to the Pats last year, because opposed to other recent years where they became more of a finesse team and more about offense and less about defense, I thought they had the makings of a very, very good defense last year, but got crushed by injuries to Vince Wilfork and Tommy Kelly and Gerard Mayo. And even before the season started, I went blank on his name, Adrian Wilson, I'm sorry, who never played a down for them. I thought he was going to be a dynamite pick for them, a savvy veteran guy. Now, I still think they have the potential to be real, real good this year, and hopefully they can avoid injuries. I think they'll put their onus on the draft, on defense. Chandler Jones is a guy who's really coming on strong. It'll be interesting to see how the linebacking core shapes out without Brandon Spikes. I know Spikes was not around at the end of the year last year. Now he's with the Buffalo Bills. But the potential is there for – listen, I hear so much about Tom Brady, and he's one of the great quarterbacks of all time. You can't even debate it. But this team won titles – in the early 2000s because they were balanced and they had defense.
Mm-hmm.
They won because Tom Brady was very effective with the running game and knew when to throw. Ever since Brady started throwing, you know, 50 touchdown passes and putting up these enormous numbers, they haven't won titles. And you know why? Because teams who usually put up those kind of numbers rarely win titles.
Yeah, I know.
They
need more balance with their running game as well as with, you know, giving Brady, you know, like you say, you can't expect a quarterback to throw that many times and to keep winning. It's too much pressure and too much stress. And I've watched their old games from the early 2000s, and their defense was, like you said, very balanced, the team was. And I'm excited to see them get back there.
Well,
hey,
that's what wins in this league.
What happened in Houston in your eyes? I mean, they have a good, solid roster. It just seemed they were like Detroit of a couple of years when they just could not win a game in the big stretch. What do you think of Houston right now, the Texans?
Well, this still is a team with its share of talent, although a lot of it is now gone via salary cap cuts and free agency. Guys like Daniel Manning, guys like Owen Daniels, Ben Tate, no longer with the team. Matt Schaub was obviously traded to the Oakland Raiders for a sixth-round pick. So it's kind of a start over again. But it shows you what happens to a talented team when a few things go wrong early in the season. and it shows you the mental part of this game. You know, we saw the Kansas City Chiefs a couple years ago with six Pro Bowlers win two games. Last year, kind of a similar situation in terms of talent with the Houston Texans, but their demise really kind of began late in the 2012 season. People forget that they were an 11-1 football team with the best record in the NFL after 12 games in 2012. Suddenly, their defense, injuries caught up to them. Matt Schaub looked like a quarterback that had lost his confidence. And I think last year, Schaub had an impact on the defense because those constant pick sixes, remember, he threw four, at least one, four games in a row, and then I think it was Case Keenum made it five games in a row in a game they lost. Those have demoralizing effects on the other side of the ball. When you go out there and do a great job, at least you think you do a great job in terms of playing defense, and then your offense or special teams winds up giving things away. So I will say this. We have 2 years in a row seen a 2-14 team win 11 games the next season. The Colts did it in 2012. The Chiefs did it last year. So I guess I'll go out on a limb. Could the Texans be 11-5? In this league, anything's possible.
Yeah, and that it showed it late, but everybody I think was just shocked that they could not win a game. They just slid and slid and continued to slid. But Schaub being ousted, fan negativity now at that point, like you said. So new coaching might change that. What do you think of the West? We got the Rams, Seahawks, obviously winning it. Cardinals improving. Niners. With, off the field stuff that's going on right now, where do you see the West lining up?
Well, I think the Seahawks took their share of hits in free agency. I know people will dispute that, but you can't lose the amount of people that they lose. It eventually becomes a cumulative effect. Red Bryant, Chris Clemens, Golden Tate, okay, Bruno Giacomini. You know, when you start losing starters like that, regardless of the fact that you think you have people you can plug right in, it's not that easy. Listen, it's also not that easy to get back-to-back Super Bowls. We haven't seen anybody do it in a decade. The last team to even get to back-to-back Super Bowls were the Pats in 2003 and 2004. They also happened to win it. Repeating is very, very tough. Now, I will say this. This is a Seattle team over the course of the last, I would say, year and change has been pretty impressive. And, in fact, if you think about this, over the last 2 years, okay, including the playoffs, the Seahawks, I believe, are 28-9. And none of those nine losses were by any more than 7 points, which is a pretty impressive stat over a two-year span. So when they lost, it was close, and many times they blew teams out. But I think the fact that the West is so strong, think about this. In 2010, Seattle won it with a 7-9 record. Last year, the Rams finished three games out of third place with a 7-9 record. The Cardinals won 10 games and couldn't get in. You could argue the two best teams are the Niners and the Seahawks in terms of the entire league. So, again, we got a draft to go. I think some of the things that's happening in San Francisco will have some sort of effect on the team. I've often been told by people, an out-of-the-ordinary offseason eventually catches up with you during the regular season. So we'll see what happens. Remember, you had all the Harbaugh drama with Trent Baalke as well, the general manager. So, but the fact that that division is so strong and so balanced and you got three 10-win teams, that helps the team that comes out of there. Teams that coast the division titles oftentimes are not ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, and Pete Carroll, you have to give him credit. I think he's learned, went back to college in a sense, and then he came back, had his ups and downs, his previous tenure, and now he's really showcasing, I wouldn't say Bill Belichick of the West, but he's getting there. And if he does improve this next year and the year after, in a two-year span, and puts his team in contention, like you're saying, year to year, we could be seeing a very good coach.
I don't think there's any question about it, but I'll hold off a little on the Belichick thing. His track record. Here's the comparison I will say. Bill Belichick, in his first stop as an NFL head coach, didn't fare all that well, although he was starting to turn the Browns around, got to the playoffs in 1994, and who knew what was going to happen in 1995 when the franchise, disappeared and wound up moving to Baltimore and becoming the Ravens. He made several stops. You know, and a lot of people like to say, well, if it weren't for Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, you know, all that stuff to me is ridiculous. You've got to have all the right components at the right time, okay? I mean, Tom Brady wasn't around in 2008 and they won 11 games. Tom Brady didn't have a great statistical year last year and they won 12 games. You know, I think sometimes because of who Bill Belichick portrays himself as, we don't like to like Bill Belichick. But you got to put him on. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame coach. He might have been a Hall of Fame coach even as an assistant. I think people forget the work he did with the New York Giants and the New York Jets and the New England Patriots working under Bill Parcells. He's earned his moniker as one of the great coaches of all time. And let's not forget something here. They've had 13 straight winning seasons. That's tied for the sixth most in the history of the NFL. And the NFL, by the way, has been around for 94 years. That's not a bad number. 11 straight years of 10 or more wins. Five straight division titles. To me, even though they've not won the Super Bowl in 10 years, they are still the league's active dynasty.
Woo, woo.
All right, that's all I get, Erica. So woo, woo. He's talking Patriots like just players.
I could go on for the entire half hour on the Patriots and sing their praises. I agree wholeheartedly. It's a perfect storm when it comes to a winning coach and a winning quarterback. Who's to say Brady wouldn't be as good as he is if he had another coach? I mean, you can't say that because obviously they're together and they're winning. But yeah, I agree wholeheartedly.
Let's leave off on a soft-hearted note that Erica enjoys. What do you think about the Jets coming up? Rex Ryan is not her favorite coach, but let's analyze the Jets before we leave here for Erica and the AFC East.
Well, as bad as the Jets looked last year, they somehow still managed to win 8 games. They somehow managed to beat both the New England Patriots and the New Orleans Saints last year. Of course, they also stunk up the joint far too many times. So, you know, I thought Rex Ryan was in an interesting position last year. It seemed is the key word, that he was almost a lame duck coach. And yet it took him all year to finally win 2 games in a row, and they did it the last 2 games of the season, basically, you know, hurt the Miami Dolphins' chances of getting back into the playoffs. So I thought an 8-8 season, considering where they were, considering that their quarterback, their rookie quarterback, committed 25 of the team's 29 turnovers. Their defense was very, very good. Their running game was very solid. They don't have a lot of offensive weapons. They're trying to, you know, obviously do that. And this is a team that has 12 picks in the upcoming draft, tied with the Rams for the most. So are they the main threat to New England? Who's to say, okay? Because no one, let's be honest, no one has really made a really great charge at the Patriots the last couple of years. Although, you know, remember, in 2012, the Pats went undefeated against the division. Last year, they lost to both the Dolphins and the Jets. So I guess they're playing, there's a little catch-up to be made there. But I still think you got to go an awful long way to dethrone New England. But I think it's fascinating to watch the Jets. I think Michael Vick comes in here more as a mentor and less as a starting threat. The arrival of a Chris Johnson gives them a little home run threat out of the backfield. Now I'm going to be very interested to see what they do with those 12 picks. They obviously need some offensive playmakers, but, you know, I don't want to say they've necessarily righted the ship in New York after a couple of down seasons, but they've at least patched up some holes in the bow.
Now, before we bow out of here, Indianapolis seems like luck has found its way, and you got Wade coming back, a lot of weapons on that team coming back with some free agency help. Do you think Indy will rebound in that division?
Well, they won the division last year. They've been 11-5 the last 2 seasons. You know, it's funny because Andrew Luck, you know, it wasn't at his best during the playoffs last year. And in 3 playoff games that he's played, you know, he's had his moments, but he also has committed an awful lot of turnovers. And that's not something the Colts can afford to do. Now, if Arthur Jones and DeQuell Jackson wind up coming up big for them on defense, that would be great. This is a team that has not had a good defense in a number of years. This is also a team that has 5 picks in the upcoming draft, the fewest by any team. They do not have a first-round pick because of the Trent Richardson deal. I still don't know if they have a running game. Listen, for a long time, especially the last couple years of his career, we saw that one-man football by Peyton Manning, and it didn't add up to anything when it finally came down to winning a championship. Remember, when they won the Super Bowl, they played good defense and ran the football. They need to find that balance again, okay? It's great that Andrew Luck has all these comebacks, but Andrew Luck is also a quarterback sometimes that digs himself into these holes because of his own mistakes. His natural ability is phenomenal, and what he was able to do last year, minus Reggie Wayne, who was really his security blanket as a rookie, was dynamite. I mean, this is the kind of guy you want to play a football game with and want to go to battle with, for lack of a better word. But this is a team that has to make some better strides on defense, at least in that division. I think the Tennessee Titans are lurking a little bit when it comes to the Colts.
All right. So, Russell, awesome. Insightful. Our listeners obviously appreciate that. Pre-draft analysis here. We'll see if we can touch base with you after the draft, a couple weeks after, and see where everybody stands again. But thank you for making the time today. Me and Erica appreciate it. We look forward to the draft coming up here. Next week we have Emory Hunt. So just like Russell here, very insightful, very creative with in terms of analysis as well. So, Russell, thank you again, and give the fans where they can locate you or where they can find you on social sites.
Sure. Twitter is DaxFootballGuru. We are determining to get to 30,000 followers by the time the draft rolls around, and we're less than 500 away, so help us out. ProFootballGuru.com is the website, and you can find my writings there, not only my original stuff for the site, but Bleacher Report, Yahoo Sports, Cold Hard Football Facts, Pro Player Insiders, The Sports Post. I do a lot of writing for a lot of different sites across the country. And for people who are still doing a lot on Facebook, I have a ProFootballGuru.com page, which has a Twitter feed. And you can find all you want in terms of my features on that page as well. So we got every angle covered. And I want to thank you both for having me on tonight.
All right, Russell. Thank you again. Happy Easter. Safe travels out there. And we will touch base with you in the future here and in the next couple of weeks after the draft, if that's the case, and we'll meet up again. And thank you for all the insights today.
No problem. Happy Easter.
Thank you. Happy Easter.
All right. So, Erica, that was Russell Baxter. So, taking us down the NFL swing of the for pre-drafts. So, we got a couple minutes here. We will have Emory Hunt next week here at FB Game Plan, and he will analyze and dissect Mayock's top picks, as well as his own insights as to who will go first in the draft, who will take who in the draft, and based on, like Russell said, there's a lot of teams out there that have a lot of draft picks, so it's going to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited for it. I love now we're getting into, well, for a couple of weeks anyway, we'll get into some good football stuff, and then we'll have to take summer off. So this is a little bit of a feed the addiction, and then we'll have to go cold turkey again.
Yeah, exactly. So, but then we got OTAs, and then you got all the other news that always comes around. So, so for Erica Lynn Anderson, this is Oscar Lopez. We wish everybody a happy Easter. We look forward to another edition of the Gridiron Blitz next week. And you can catch us on our podcast at ultimatesportstalk.com, where you can get every pro sports info on there, including MMA and WWE. So go to at UTL Sports Talk on Twitter, or you can go to ultimatesportstalk.com. As well as Erica at you can find Erica on Twitter. Just let them know, Erica.
You can find me on Twitter at patsfangirl. I'm giving you a web address at patsfangirl12 and at gridirongirl.org.
Awesome. So, peace to everybody. We will see you next week. And thanks again to Russell Baxter for coming in and giving us some great insights. We will see you here next week when we have Emory Hunt of FB Game Plan, dissecting the NFL draft. So have a great Sunday, everybody.
Hi, everybody. Happy Easter.